This is Mahogany and Fur.
To talk to Carl, Mark, Lizard, or Moose, call our hotline at 216-539-9958.
Hey, everybody, it's Mahogany and Fur.
Yo.
Hello, Governor.
Hey. You like that intro we have there, you guys?
Getting fancy, man.
I know. I was doing that. I worked on that all day today on different stuff today. So we got an intro. We got everything going on. We're a little bit more professional on this one, so to speak.
The microphone
and
the cameras here.
What? Yeah, hey, talk into your microphone,
though. Talk into your mic. Yeah, there you go.
Because,
there you go.
Because we're doing it this way until we get the mic stuff. So, like a new stands and stuff like that.
Really quiet.
I turned it off.
I know.
No, I mean, I didn't turn it off. It just kind of turned off on its own. But welcome to Mahogany and Fur. This is what, the like fifth show?
What?
Yeah, man. This is the fifth show.
But, you know, how many out of like actually good ones?
This one is going to be the best one because we got Moose. We've got our buddy Mark.
Hello.
And myself here today for you. For your listening pleasure.
Dude, what? I don't even know what the date is.
My God, I don't even know. Let me look here.
I'm such a loser.
I got a computer in front of me now.
I'm such a loser.
I got a computer in front of me now.
Friday, April 12th.
It's Friday, April 12th.
Yeah. So what's been happening? So,
yeah. I wanted to say before we even start the show that this could possibly be our good friend. You can put yourself on camera if you'd like, but our good friend Stephen Moose. This may be his last episode of Mahogany and Fur.
I hope not.
Talk into the mic. Just get it up to your mouth.
Yeah, I hope not.
Oh, there you go. We can hear you. Okay, good.
Great. Yeah, they're doing a project at work, and they need some people to work second and third shifts to do about a 3,000 user transition from XP to Windows 7. So I told them, you know, pick me as a last option. Because I really don't want to do it, so.
This is your job.
Oh, I know.
This right here is your job.
Yeah.
Not going to the Department of Defense or wherever.
I mean,
you
who
work.
Wants to work fucking midnight to 8 in the morning, dude?
Nobody.
I mean, nobody.
Wouldn't you
nobody,
rather be doing this?
Yeah.
Tell them that you have another thing to do.
Oh, I've told them that. I've told them
listen,
I've got
buddy.
Church events. I got to pick up my brother from work. You know, show on Friday, going to the gym. You know, my life's pretty busy.
Keep, like, emphasizing the church thing.
Yeah, so they love that.
Be scared you might sue them for persecuting your religious
They
beliefs.
Love that. They love Absolutely. The church thing. Hey, man, I'm going to
God's
church.
God's
going
to punish me after I work here 12 days.
I'm trying to go to church.
Tell them you lead a mass or whatever the hell kind of... I don't know, whatever you believe in, whatever you do.
Whatever.
You're some kind of...
Breaking the bread, whatever.
Are you a synagogue mass? I don't know.
What do they call those guys that are... They're not a priest. I'm not thinking priest. I'm thinking
a pastor?
Something else.
A pastor?
Well, he does not get laid, so he may be a priest.
He is
no,
past
no,
her.
It's a pastor. Yeah. Our pastor's married.
Past her.
Pastor.
I know, but if you were a priest, you would already be in the same boat you're in now.
Pretty much.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it would
no
be
no action whatsoever.
And you'd have an excuse for not getting any action.
Yeah, well, yeah, you'd have an excuse or a reason to not get any
it's
action.
It's a shitty life.
No, I can't.
Oh, hey. 24 hours since I've had a cigarette.
I'm offended.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, that's pretty good, man. What is that thing you got there, though?
It's a electronic cigarette.
Electronic. I've smoked those before.
Electronic.
How long have you been smoking?
I've been smoking since 2000. So it's been about 13 years.
Okay. Good for you, man.
It's a pain. I haven't gotten to the point where, like, you know when you quit cold turkey for all those of you that have quit? You know, you get to about, usually the first day can pass without incident because you just keep busy. But it's usually you're on day two, day three, where you just want to start murdering people. You know.
Day two is a rough day.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, hopefully I'll just wean myself off of this and be completely done. But
hey,
it ain't bad. Bad at all.
I'm really proud of you, actually, with that.
I mean, you feel it's working for you so far?
I think it is.
Good for
you.
And
it's cool because I can smoke at more vape because it's not smoke. That's what they call it, vaping. I'm having a vaping contest over here.
I'm going to vape.
I mean, I know you can because it's smokeless.
I'm vapor baiting.
Is your boss weird about it?
No, he has one.
Oh, nice.
In fact,
okay.
He's bringing it in. But you know what I found out that's weird, though? And, Carl, you'll appreciate this because you're a pretty constant visitor down here. But the casino... doesn't allow e-cigs at all.
That's
I've
weird.
I've been told that they're banned.
That's why? Very odd.
They give
no
you a
idea.
Reason why?
No.
Yeah, people.
There's
are
no
weird,
secondhand man. Smoke. It's water vapor.
Yeah, exactly. People are weird, dude.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense
I don't
at
know.
All. Why did we just cut out? Oh, there we go. I guess we didn't cut out. It was the headphones.
This us. Banana bread beer is freaking incredible.
You might have a sip of that?
You know how old that is? That's like a year and a half old.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dude, fuck it. I'll still try it. Let's see the expression.
It is good.
I don't think there 12, is.
4, 13.
Oh, yeah.
No, you're good.
I'll drink it.
I guess it's good, though.
That's the recommended.
Look, you know? Okay. So, you know, I've been working on stuff for the show for a while, and I wanted to.
That's really good.
What kind? Who makes that?
This is made by Wells.
Wells. I think my buddy Peter brought that over. So shout out to Peter Garver
banana
for bringing that
beer.
Over.
And not to cut you off, Carl, but I mean, dude, this it tastes like banana bread.
I don't like banana bread.
Do you not? You really?
I don't like it.
This
is
I love it.
This is perfect for like a winter beer, man.
Look, okay, so since we got Moose and everybody here, we're going to do Moose's Tech Hour or Tech Minute right now. So does that sound good? Moose's
that
Tech Minute? Hang on a second. Hang on a second.
It's all about the Pantinos, baby.
Hi. Steve Moose is going to tell you some technical stuff. It's time for our technical minute. Has anyone seen my inhaler?
Well, this week I'm not going to talk about cell phones. I'm going to talk about a new video game that I've been playing called Bioshock Infinite.
How
it's
is
available
that?
For the 360 and the PS3.
What do you have?
I have the Xbox 360.
Okay.
And I'm not a hardcore gamer. I kind of pick it up and go with it for about a month or two, and then I'll put it down for another couple months. But this game's intense. For those of you that have played the first two games of the series, it's pretty much traditional Bioshock. You have a story that takes place in a huge city that's run by a psychotic guy. In this case, it takes place in a fictional airship city called Columbia in around the year 1912. So there's a lot of old, you know, you go through the game and you pick up these little, they call them voxophones, but they're like little phonograph, and they're like diaries from people in the city that, you know, they drop them all over the city and give you clues and stuff like that. And it's got the old, you know, black and white scratchy audio recordings and stuff, but it's pretty cool. It's a really good story. You have these abilities called Vigors, where you have your guns and stuff like that, and you can upgrade, but you also have these, you drink these potions, and you get the ability to do different kinds of effects. You can, you know, throw fireballs, you can shock people. My favorite is called Murder of Crows, where you send this big swarm of crows at people, and it pretty much picks the flesh off their bone and pretty much kills them. But it's a really long game. I've been playing for about an hour a night for about a month now, and I'm not even close to the end. It's a really long game, but it's really good. The graphics are phenomenal. The story's good. So if you guys haven't played that game yet, I would definitely go out and play 1 and 2 first, at least 1. 2 was kind of, I didn't care for it too much, but at least do Bioshock 1, because the ending of Bioshock Infinite kind of ties back into the original Bioshock game. So you guys looking for a new time waster, go out to your local GameStop or wherever you get your games and pick it up. It's definitely worth it. It's probably going to get Game of the Year. Got a perfect 10 in Game Informer magazine. So you guys are looking for a little diversion, definitely highly recommend that game.
What was the name of the game again?
Bioshock Infinite.
That's cool, man. That sounds interesting. So are you like a...
Wait, is Bioshock Infinite Bioshock 3? Is that the same thing?
Essentially.
Okay.
So although it doesn't tie into the games at all. There's no correlation between this game and the first two.
Okay.
But it's titled Bioshock because it's kind of a genre. But at the end... And I don't want to give spoilers away, but the end of Bioshock Infinite, and I've already seen it,
spoiler
kind
away.
Of ties into Bioshock 1, which takes place in a city called Rapture, which is kind of like a city of Atlantis. It's under the ocean.
And Blondie's the mayor.
Something like that. But there's direct tie-ins to that game, so definitely it's really incredible.
Rapture?
All the work that goes into that, so.
The fuck? What the fuck is that? Rain guy grunting, screaming.
I put some sound effects on here, but like, look. That's a wind howl.
That could be when like somebody says something, you know, kind of, you know. No, we have Liz for that.
There we go.
Yeah, we do. Here, have her.
The one on the iPhone.
Hey, would anybody like a cup of coffee?
Ah.
That
That's
like the intro to Gin and Juice. dude, play that.
All right, hang on.
Play the grunt.
Hang on. Oh, where's the grunt? I can't find it. Oh, yeah.
No, you fucking up.
Oh, dude, which, there was no grunt.
No, dude, it was up here. You played the grunt, man.
I didn't play it. Oh, the scream?
Yeah. No, there was a short scream and a longer one.
It was the scream, I think. Wait, where'd it go?
There's a scream right there. Dude, you suck at this. And you want to be my DJ. It's like the hardcore Gin and Juice version.
All right, I'm done with the sound effects.
With breakdowns and electronic beats.
All right, so
you can probably hear a pretty good remix doing that.
I listened to it. I remixed
it. We got some new equipment for the show, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We got
you want to tell us about it?
Well, we got a mixer. It is Kawai.
Oh, you fancy, huh? Oh,
yeah, man. It's an 8-channel mixer. Actually, Moose and Liz's microphones go through that since they are the co-hosts. And I guess that would mean that we're the hosts of the show.
I am.
But I like to keep this a little bit. You know, I like to keep everybody on a level playing field.
Let's play it loose.
Let's play it loose. Yeah. Let's let Mark, Moose, and that's it be co-hosts. And then Liz can read the news.
We can't give Liz
co-host credit.
We she only needs as much airtime as
honorable mention,
minimum possible. Yeah. So what's going on in the news? You know, Carl's doing something right now. It's really distracting.
Sorry, man. I gotta move that. I just want to make sure that we're still recording and everything. Yeah. Hey, could you take that blue top part right there? Not that one. That one works, actually, for me. Now take this one.
Okay.
This screen. Move it over to here.
And then?
And then move it over there.
And
awesome.
Then.
So it shows us recording. And it also, you can change the camera angles and all that bullshit. So if you want to leave that over there, then you can see if we're still recording and all that stuff.
I'm going to move this one over here. It's easier for me to see.
No! No! Don't touch it!
So I don't want to be the sound effect guy, but this is in front of me.
Dude, by default. That is right in front of you.
So I think what we're going to have to do is you need to bring a laptop so I can set you up with this. And we'll put all that shit on there. And you'll be good to go.
I feel like in like another 5 podcasts, this room is going to be decked out with fucking shit.
Well, we got another thing coming to the studio we have is the headphone amplifier. So we're not going to be all plugged into like little fucking things. You know, splitters and all that. And Liz will actually be able to have headphones in for the next one. You guys, we also have an interview today. Who is it?
Paul Johnson. I don't have the prep right in front of me, so I really don't want to talk about that yet.
I know, I don't either. I'm going to pull it up. But we do have him. He's a comedian, Steve, and he's playing in Toledo. I don't remember when, but he's playing in Toledo pretty soon here.
Pretty soon. Before we get into that, he will be on what time, Carl? 10:30?
10:30.
Yeah, he'll be on. Yeah. He's a really funny guy, so please stick around and listen to the interview with Paul Johnson.
He is a funny gentleman.
But you know what, before we get into all that, there's something that we were supposed to talk about last podcast because it's been in the news. It's been in the news ever since Sandy Hook and Adam Lanza made headlines. What were you going to say about that? I know it's kind of past, you know, it's kind of old news now. But
well, you know, I'm not too sure what they did sign into law. I think Steve can help us with that. But Connecticut, the state that the Sandy Hook shooting took place in, signed into effect what I believe to be the nation's most strictest gun laws. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't remember how many particular weapons or items it banned, but it was a lot.
Well, we can take a look here. Steve, we all know that you're pro-gun. Like, you're like, I love guns.
I'm not that gun nut, but I am pro-gun to a degree.
Do you actually own firearms?
Yeah, I own.
What do you own?
I have a Ruger LCR 38 revolver and a World War II era Mosin Nagant sniper rifle. It's a Russian weapon that the most of their troops carried against the Germans.
Nice,
in World War II.
Dude. You, I fired. I actually, believe it or not, fired a World War II Russian rifle. And the first thing that I thought about was the kick. The kick was insane on
yeah.
that thing, dude.
And they're all wood stock. There's no bumper in the back. There's no wooden or rubber, you know,
yeah,
protectors. So when that thing goes off, you're taking the full brunt of it into your shoulder.
I own a shotgun. I own a 12-gauge. And the kick was, I'd say, 2 times worse.
Oh, yeah.
Than even my shotgun. I mean, I just like... Dude, I can just imagine a skinny little Russian guy trying to fire.
Well, yeah,
thing,
and they're carrying,
know?
And this thing, I have the full, there's different versions of it. Mine is the long rifle, and it actually comes with a bayonet. So, I mean, these things weigh at least 18, 20 pounds.
Stab a motherfucker.
These guys are walking around on the battlefield with them. They're shooting them. I mean,
in Russia,
I couldn't do that. Yeah,
gun fires you. Soviet Russia.
Can you imagine how that would work? A gun firing you?
Pietro, come on in here and get my rifle.
What would you have to do? Like, what would happen? Like, what would actually go on?
I think I know how it would go.
This is my friend Sergi's gun.
You saw a human cannon before, right?
Yeah.
So you would like kind of have some kind of mechanism where it's on a time release. Climb inside. You point.
You actually climb inside of it. It's not like putting you in there. You're climbing inside of it?
And, yeah. Okay. Yeah. There's like a human cannonball at the circus, dude, and before you know it, in Soviet Russia, gun shoots you.
What cop?
That's funny.
It's a quick way to get behind enemy lines.
It is.
Shoot over their heads. Dude, was that a guy that just got shot?
Yeah, what the fuck was that?
Hey, someone go find where the man
went. They're just flying over like missiles. Just dudes. Pew, pew, pew.
Little parachutes.
And then they're like, what is going on? Why are we seeing all of this? And they turn around and just blasted. Because there's guys back there already. Just crazy,
but that doesn't sound like a bad idea. How come people didn't try that back in like World War One when it was like trench warfare? Just
I don't know, but
your infantry over the
like get catapults and just like launch guys over the enemy line. You know?
Yeah,
I think we just gave North Korea some ideas.
Yeah, how to get over the DMZ.
They're gonna just start shooting guys over human cannons, shooting them over the thing. Just you know.
They'll be playing that song over these loudspeakers.
They're going to play this over it. If they shoot people,
yeah, that's how you get pumped up before you get shot.
I'm ready, guys.
Emphasis on bang.
Oh, Spongialita! Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do an accent. That's racist. I'm not going to do that.
Don't be a racist.
Oh, Spongialita! The fuck was that, dude?
Was that our lion that went off there?
No, I don't know what that was.
All right, don't start.
I gotta stop playing these now. All right,
he's worse than a 4-year-old, dude. He's hitting
fun,
buttons.
Man, they're fun to do.
It has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
I know. I was trying.
Right
to
now, Carl just play a car passing by.
They're fun though, and I was trying to find a gun one to shoot off during the gun talk.
All right. So let's bring it back.
I couldn't find anything.
Bring it on back.
Go ahead. Sorry, I just wanted to say something to Steve, just so he knows what's going on. If you need to put your microphone down, please flip the microphone off, and then put it onto the
towel,
the big old towel right here, because the towel prevents this.
Don't forget to bring a towel.
Liz did that last week, I remember, and she like dropped it. It would like rattle when that lady was on the phone.
Oh, dude,
like,
no, we were all banging around like crazy.
You should have heard it from last week. It was bad, terrible. Yeah, you don't really listen to it, but when you look like a dragon.
Wait, what?
Well, do it again. Do it on camera. Get yourself on camera.
I just noticed that the tip is green. That's kind of
that's like the weird thing too.
That's what she said.
It's kind of questionable, Steve.
No, it came out your nose like a dragon. Wow. Wait, do it again. I'm so sorry that we got off the gun topic.
Dude,
here.
The funny thing is, you know Steve when he was ordering that online. You know he picked the green.
He's like, I gotta get the green.
I gotta get the green.
I have to get the green.
They have blue ones too.
I have to be special.
I don't want red.
I want to be noticed.
When people see me smoking, I want them to go, "What is
they go,
he smoking?
I'm green because I'm not smoking.
Are you
anymore.
From the future? What is that?
He's smoking green.
He's a green fire. He has a green flame.
Wow, that is awesome.
Steve was like. Right before he hit the purchase button, he's like, nah, I'm going to go green.
He had the red one.
It's going to be a panty dropper.
He had
get a green.
Hey, girls, check out my green cherry.
Did he have the red one in his...
What a tool. He had the
Did he have the red one in the cart, you think? Like, he was all...
He
went back and deleted it and went back and added the green one.
Looked. They only had the green ones there. Because that's their logo is green smoke. Oh. So I don't think they carry red ones, but
who makes that?
That's the company. It's Green Smoke.
Oh, it's called Green Smoke. Yeah. I thought it was Blue.
Greensmoke.com. Blue. If you want to get a really cool e-cig with a green tip.
Man. And we want to welcome our new advertiser, Greensmoke.com.
Yeah, no shit.
To the show.
They start.
I'm probably the only guy that's smoking one right now.
So far, we've advertised free for what is it, green bullshit cigarettes and Wells banana beer.
You know what else we advertise free for? Whatever cigarettes we're smoking right now.
But you haven't. Well, dude, no. Now you're just.
And iHome headphones.
Dude, just stop. Just no one cares.
And the best.
All right. Let's
lemonade
let's
on the planet.
Calypso lemonade.
Let's bring it back.
I'm going to tell you this. Okay, first off,
how do you feel, Carl, about gun control?
I personally don't give a shit. Two shits. Couldn't give anything about guns. I don't care. I don't think anybody really needs them. Steve brought up a great thing to me.
Well, that is giving a shit. What do you mean?
I mean, I don't care about
guns. The people that think they need them can have them, but he doesn't care enough to either want one or get one.
No, I don't even think people should be able to have them. Fuck it.
Wait, you don't think people should be able to have guns
in
general?
No, because when my first point is, when the amendment was added to the Constitution, or written into the Constitution, the guns that we had were muskets. Yeah. So tell me who's going to go into a school and shoot 28 kids or 20 kids with a musket. They'd have to reload every time. Could you imagine
that? It would take like a half an hour for them to do it.
No, it would take longer than a half an hour. You'd have to be sitting there pumping the shit in there every time. It just seems like that would make... if you could get all the guns in the United States off the streets, which would be a tall order...
It would never happen.
It would be impossible, actually.
It would be impossible, but ladies like Mrs. Lanza, rest in peace, who's no longer with us anymore, would have...
Dumb bitch.
She legally obtained those guns, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, she wouldn't have had those guns, and thus it would have been harder for her crazy son to go into the school and shoot those kids. And in theory, I don't think he would have been able to obtain a weapon. Because he wasn't, I'm not going to say he's dumb, but he wasn't the bright, I mean, he's
he
probably,
wasn't the brightest bulb in the
he
box.
He probably was bright, but the thing is, he is very socially.
He was very antisocial.
Yeah, so he wouldn't have known to go up to Steve Moose and buy his illegal weapons.
Actually, it sounded like he was a sociopath.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't think he would have actually been able to get weapons unless his mom had them, he wouldn't have been able to get them.
He actually tried. I mean, if you want to believe the news, he actually tried to get them.
And I believe that.
And Connecticut has a rule that when you apply for a gun purchase, you have it's kind of like you're in a holding pattern for about 30 days for them to investigate you. He was turned down.
Well,
when
honestly,
he tried to buy one at a sporting goods store.
You have to be 21 years old or older. In Connecticut, also.
Well, I don't know their current laws right now.
That's not current. That was then. So okay. He couldn't even get one. He wasn't even 21, so he couldn't have even got one.
All right.
So he went in there to try, showing how antisocial he was. He didn't even know the law. Tried to obtain the weapon, was unable to obtain the weapon, and found the stash of weapons that his mom bought. They were locked, apparently, in the case. So the mom was doing everything correct. Yeah. Which, to me, proves that the current system isn't working. Because if the mom was doing everything correct, everything that she could do to keep him from having guns in his hands, which I don't believe she actually did, but if the mom was trying to do that, it failed. Plain and simple.
So you think we should get rid of all the guns?
I don't think there should be guns. I'm sorry.
Okay. You think we should be like, Britain... UK.
I mean, I think we should be our own people. But yeah, I mean, we can follow.
Where else are guns banned? Australia, right?
I think Australia. You can get guns in Australia. Can you?
A lot of Eastern European countries. A lot of European countries where it's banned. I think Norway or Sweden. One of those is like one of the highest in the world. Like everybody has one. One of those countries.
Switzerland.
I think.
And look at that. I bet their murder rates are lower than here, even though everybody there has a gun.
Their murder rates are like almost nothing.
Non-existent.
You know why? Yeah. Because they're not crazy assholes like in America. And I hate to knock America. I do love it here, but I mean, we are a bunch of crazy people.
There's crazy people everywhere. I disagree with that.
Well, our culture is violent, though. That's the thing, though.
Well, I think you need to study what Switzerland does correctly because crazy people are everywhere. Okay?
You're right. Yeah, they are.
It's not that's not an American problem.
No,
it's not specific to America. So we should probably study why Switzerland has one of the lowest murder rates, but it's the highest armed country per person.
Mm-hmm.
Am I making sense?
Yeah.
So how do you feel about it, Steve? Carl wants no guns. What do you want?
Hang on. I wanted to bring up under my argument of being no guns is that Steve tried to play one on me the other day. There was a stabbing in Texas. Was it in Texas?
Somewhere. I have the email thread here.
He messages me and is like, oh, there's a...
Whoa. What do you mean you have an email? Is this one of those like famous conservative chain letters that gets passed around amongst you?
No, this is an email thread between me and Steve.
Yeah, just me and... I saw a news clip and I forwarded it to him that I thought... It would be interesting.
It is interesting. You know, let me tell you what happened. There was a stabbing at a school in Texas. And actually at that school, I believe there was a shooting.
Lone Star.
Yeah, I believe there was a shooting prior.
There was. You're right. There was a gun incident.
And here's the thing. He said that.
But it was at a different campus. Campus.
He said, look, there's a stabbing.
So let's ban knives. So I said that kind of tongue-in-cheek.
Tongue-in-cheek, yeah. Tongue-in-cheek, let's ban knives. Because he knows that I want to ban guns, and tongue-in-cheek, let's ban knives. Okay, so how many people died in the Texas stabbing?
I never followed up on it. I know 14 were injured and 2 were in critical. That's pretty much all I read from it. So,
let me look this up. We'll talk in a second here. Let me do a little research.
All right, well, while Carl's looking for the information about the whack job, I caught a little bit about this guy on CNN, just, in passing. It was one of those things where, CNN was on in the background while I was doing something. But I guess this guy, he told the police, look at him, man, he looks crazy.
He does.
Dude, how come all these guys look nut jobs?
You want to know why? I'll tell you the exact reason, because they are nut jobs.
Mm-hmm. Remember Richard Dunn, our very first, I guess, Carl's playing music now.
Okay. Sorry about that. Let me pause
Richard,
that here.
Richard Dunn, or Dick Dunn, if you're feeling sexy, he had a really funny comment. Because we were talking about Kim Jong-il, and he was saying how, all these psychopaths have, awful haircuts.
Yeah, they do. They
and
all
he's
do.
Right, dude.
Here, I'm going to play a little clip from the news here about what happened in Texas, okay?
Right. To the latest on that stabbing rampage at Lone Star College near Houston, Texas. The attacker wounded 14 people, 2 of them critically, before he was tackled by fellow students. ABC's Alex Perez joins us from Houston with more on that story. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Elizabeth. Dylan Quick has yet to make an appearance here in court. He's still being evaluated, but authorities say he not only planned out this attack, but fantasized about stabbing people for years. This cell phone video captures the frightening moment as police detain 20-year-old Dylan Quick after he allegedly stabbed 4
showing him on the ground.
Teen people with a knife.
As soon as I put him on the ground, I asked him, I was like, why? Why'd you stab these people?
But student Stephen Maida had no idea Quick was deaf. Maida, along with several other students, tackled Quick, subduing him until authorities arrived.
He didn't tell me anything because
he was deaf.
Yeah, they just said he was deaf.
He couldn't hear us, but I was screaming at him. I was so enraged.
The chaos began just after 11 a.m. Tuesday morning. That's when police say Quick went on a bloody rampage, randomly stabbing students, most in the neck and head, here on the Lone Star Community College Cyfair campus, just outside Houston. It happened so quickly, Michelle Alvarez says she didn't even realize she had been stabbed.
The adrenaline, I didn't feel the cut. But then I heard people screaming behind me where he was running at. So when I heard people behind me, I was like, no, I have to go run into a room and get safety.
Suspect can be a male running around loose, stabbing people, a white male, black hat with a black and white shirt.
The school quickly blasted out an emergency alert to students, but by that point, confusion had spread across campus.
So, basically, they're saying 14 people are injured. That includes that one woman that was just on there, and she looked fine to me. Now, if that would have been a shooter, in the case of Sandy Hook Elementary, she'd be dead, right?
Possibly.
Okay.
I mean,
come on, that guy killed everybody that he aimed at.
Yeah.
Not one person, I think, was wounded in there.
Are you talking about Sandy Hook specifically?
Yes.
I found out that he shot every single little kid a minimum of 3 times.
That's true.
Yeah.
And so you look at this and you say, at least in my opinion, I say to myself, I see this guy stabbing people, but they're not dead. You know what I'm saying?
By the grace of God, they're not dead, but they very well could have been.
By the grace of...
I mean, a knife into the throat and head, I mean, all it takes is one correct placed cut, and you're going to bleed out in a matter of minutes.
Okay, well, look at this way.
They were fortunate.
Look at it this way. I see some screw jobs stabbing people. The natural reaction is to fight or flight. I at least can run away. You know what I mean? With an automatic rifle, or not an automatic, but a semi-automatic rifle, or even just a regular rifle, that bullet can catch
you. You can't outrun
a bullet.
No,
exactly. So I think that's what Carl's trying to say. You know.
Okay. Now listen to this, and tell me that the 911 calls are even comparable, okay?
You have to find the Sandy Hook School. The front glass has been broken out of the school. They're unsure why. All units, the individual that I have on the phone is continuing to hear what he believes to be gunfire.
Responding units, last known gunshots were in the front of the building.
We have one now in room one who has received a shot wound to the foot.
Injuries.
Okay, these units in the school, I got bodies here. Let's get everyone to... Be advised, we should have multiple weapons, including long rifles and shotguns. We need buses here. ASAP, call the ambulance if you have to.
That sounds a little more spectacular.
Oh, of course, when you compare a gun to a knife, but...
Okay, so... Right before Sandy Hook happened, there was a stabbing at a school in, I believe it was China... Where a gentleman walked into the school and slashed kids, but none of those kids are dead. Now, you can't say by the grace of God for that, because it's really, God has nothing to do with that.
All right, well, before we get off on a tangent, I mean, the stabbing thing, it's a red herring. No one is actually saying we should ban all knives. People against gun control are saying that just to make a point, but no one actually is for that. But let's give Steve a chance to... Steve, what do you think? Should there be any regulations on guns?
There should be common sense talk about mental health, which is it's the pinnacle of the problem. It's not a gun problem. All right, yeah, it's not a gun problem. I mean, I could go so many different directions with this, you know, and I'm not trying to downplay Sandy Hook Elementary School. It is a tragedy that all these kids lost their lives, but you got to look at how many murders are committed across this country every night. I mean, even in our city here, there's always at least one murder a night on the east side of Cleveland.
There's been over 3,000 deaths by gun since Sandy Hook
in
our country.
Now this is where I'm going with this. You know, okay. Legislation like this is what I call an emotional response. It's a knee-jerk reaction. It's like Feinstein, the senator that's trying to push all this stuff through, making an ass of herself on TV, talking about, you know, and it's the fun term of the month right now, this assault rifle.
Right.
That's the word that the media likes to throw out there to get everybody scared. If it's black and it has a 20-round magazine and it has a scope, it's bad. The problem is people have a short-term memory of other bad crimes and mass murders that were committed in this country that didn't involve those kind of weapons. You look at Anthony McVeigh when he blew up the Oklahoma City building. 19 kids were killed in that attack, though, with 160 total.
Listen, what did he use to blow up the building?
He blew it up with a bomb.
Okay, and bombs are illegal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the components to make them were not legal, though.
So make the components to make a gun illegal. I mean, legal.
But you can't. You can't ban racing fuel, which he used.
What I'm saying is...
You can't ban fertilizer, which he used.
I think you're misunderstanding. Make the things to make a gun legal, but make the guns themselves illegal, just like it is with bombs.
But
why? Why does
yeah,
that?
We're not going to... It's never going to happen, though, because guns will never be made illegal. I'm trying to talk about a major... You know, hanging point here. You know, there's a lot of anger about a specific type of weapon,
right?
Like the AR-15. Let's talk about Virginia Tech.
Can I?
You remember the Virginia Tech massacre?
I don't think we need any more examples. Yeah. We're all familiar with what you know. Sure.
The issue is it's not a particular gun that's a problem. It's everybody's pointing their anger at the wrong thing. We need to worry about mental health and making sure that we pass laws that prevent people from. Like that, from getting a gun, not punishing the law-abiding citizens that own these guns own them lawfully.
I absolutely agree with you 100%.
But the, even though gun control is a seemingly impossible thing that we can all agree on what should be done, if there should be anything done about it, tackling mental health in this country, where do you start? You know,
that's a good question.
And I really think that's why gun control is the forefront issue right now. It's the hot button issue because no one really wants to talk about the underlying problems in our society, that manifest these crazy gunmen, which is mental health issues.
Talk about guns.
Do you remember the story? I think it was about a year ago about the kid that shot his parents for taking away Halo.
Yes.
Well, anytime those stories come out, the first thing that people want to attack is the video game industry, like Grand Theft Auto. Yeah. You know, we have all these violent video games, but what they do is they'll say, hey, this one kid killed his parents, it's got to be the game. Well, it's not the game because there's millions of other people that play that game and lead normal lives.
Yeah.
But when you have a game like that in conjunction with a mentally unstable person... That's where the problem.
Fantasy.
His parents would respawn. That's exactly what he said to the reporters. He was so in this game world that he thought that his parents would just respawn after he killed him, pretty much.
Okay. Are you going to play some girl? All right. Well, why are you queuing that up?
Concert County 911. Where is your emergency?
What are we listening to?
My house.
The Jake Evans 911 call.
Who's Jake Evans? Is that
Jake Evans is the kid who killed his parents over. Oh, his mother and his sister over Halo.
Oh, God, let's hear this.
What's the address?
152 River Creek Lane.
Okay, what's the emergency?
I just killed my mom and my sister.
What?
Jesus.
I just killed my mom and my sister.
You just killed your mother and your sister?
No,
how did you do that?
I have to pause you here. I don't actually think this is the one from the Halo video game.
Well, he tried to kill his dad, too, but his dad survived.
I think this is a different story. This is more recent than that. This was in October of 2012.
But I remember that story because his dad actually was in court.
This is a pretty chilling 911 call. Not that it has anything to do with this anymore, though, so sorry. But he did shoot him dead with guns, so we could listen to it. Just anyway.
I mean, shot him with a it's 12 minutes, though. Revolver.
I just want to find out why he did it. She's going to ask
him. He never says it.
He doesn't.
Well, what is your name?
Jake Evans.
Jay Evans.
Jake Evans.
There's not even any like emotion.
Are you
in his
sure
voice
they're
either.
Dead?
No.
Yes.
Oh yeah, he's stone cold. Like it's a
dude.
Chore.
I just killed my dad.
It's like a chore,
mom,
yeah.
My cat.
My sister. I can't seem to find that call that we were talking about.
Don't,
but,
don't worry.
But regardless of that, but I mean it's.
Well, okay. Well, let me ask you this, Steve. You're against banning "quote unquote" assault rifles, and I understand the argument that anti-gun control people are making. It's really no more deadly than your average hunting rifle, correct?
Oh no, and that's where I was going with Virginia Tech. You know, there's 30 some children or kids. Well, they weren't kids; they were college students. And the guy, I just read this up today. I was in preparation for the show. I pretty much Googled, massive, murders and what when guns were involved. In his case, he carried a Glock 19, which is a 9mm pistol, and a Walther P22, which is a 22 caliber pistol, which the bullets are like the size of like an eraser head.
Yeah, I have a 22.
But he ended up killing 36 people, and the only kind of clips he had were 10-round and 15-round magazines, which are the ones that they want to keep legal. I don't know about the 15-round ones, but it just goes to show you if...
That was actually going to be the question I was going to ask you.
He had like 19... He had 400 rounds of ammunition. I think he had... I can't remember because I read... I kind of blasted through the story because it was right before I was about to go home. This was the kid that killed those 30-some students at Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech, yes. That crazy guy.
How did... I mean, I don't know if you can answer this because I don't know if you how much you read up about the story, but how did he manage to kill that many people if he didn't have high-capacity magazines?
Just
he locked them in rooms.
Like I told Carl, I'm not a gun professional, but I've handled firearms for the last 15 years.
Was it a crowd of people that he fired into, or what?
I don't even remember. I think it was a camp. He walked across the campus into different buildings because I kind of just blasted through the story real quick, but And I was going to tell Carl that he's free to come to the range sometime, and I can show him how fast I can unload a clip, button to drop another clip out, and slap another one in, and keep going. The transition time between clips is a matter of seconds. So if you're not being confronted...
Seconds save lives, though.
That's one of the talking head points that sound bites people keep saying, seconds save lives. But
they do.
But let me ask you this. You are... semi-trained in firing your weapons, correct?
Yeah.
So, yes, you may be able to change magazines out very quickly, but the average school shooter kid, does he really have that much experience with guns?
Well, Adam Lanza was taken to the range by his mom, which I'm like, what is her deal? She's got a son that's psychotic. He had a database full of killers that this kid was trying to make sure that he was mentioned in the ranks of. His mom was either clueless about what her son was dealing with, or she was just a bad parent. I mean,
I think that's unfair to say she was a bad parent because we don't know the facts.
Well, I'm saying either
kids
or.
Kids are sneaky as shit, man.
Yeah.
We were all kids. The kids will do whatever they want to do. They'll find a way to do what they want to do.
That's absolutely true.
No matter how in your ass, the parents are.
Of course.
And funny enough, I think they. If you want to believe the media, the straw that broke the camel's back in Adam Lanza's case was, I guess he found out that his mom was planning on trying to put him into a home or something to get him help. I guess
I don't know.
That might have been.
Where'd you hear that?
That was reported.
That was
early
reported.
On. But recently, the story changes so often.
Right,
and
recently they've been saying he was. I've been keeping track of this story, and recently they've been saying that he was following killers in other countries. Other murderers, other things
what do you
like
mean
that.
Following,
looking up information on them,
stats, how many people died.
He wanted to beat them like it was a game.
I got that feeling. There's only one reason you target innocent children is to make
your
people talk about you.
Yeah,
it's to make people talk about you. I mean, I didn't even without knowing that. I when I found out he had shot up children, I'm like he. My immediate thought was he wanted to one-up the Colorado shooter. I know for it has to be it. You know what I mean? He wanted to one-up, what was his name, James Holmes. And I feel bad even bringing these guys' names up because
you talk about the theater shooter.
We shouldn't have
James Holmes. I would have thought that
Exactly. Yeah. It was referred to him as Dickhead Lanza.
Lanza.
I mean,
douchebag. Aurora.
Think about it. We all know the names of Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, but name me one actual person that died from Columbine. You can't.
No.
Most people can't. Yeah.
You know why?
I actually looked up the names the other day. I was looking on Wikipedia for a list.
I'm trying to make a point here, Steve.
I could almost remember some of the names.
I look up the names. All the time I'm looking up the names. I look up the names every day. Actually, I know. I know nine. So anyway. I don't want to make light of the situation, but fucking Steve.
Okay, guys, it's now 10:27. Hate to cut this short, but I think we should go take a break
and all as well.
Go listen to a song, and we'll come back.
You know
the
what?
Air.
Hey, I got an idea. Let's take a break, and when we come back in, let's play a small clip from the comedian Phil Johnson that we're going to interview coming up right after the break. But let's give a little teaser for his comedy. What do you think about?
Yeah, I think we could do that now. Okay. What did you do? What did you do?
What did you do?
Steven!
God damn it. I'm going to get my belt.
Okay, so he's calling right now. So we're going to go ahead and answer this call. I forgot to turn off the sound. So we're not going to go to break. We're going to answer the call. Let's do this. Shit. Hey, is this Phil?
It sure is. How's it going?
Phil, this is Carl, Mahogany of Fur. We got Carl, Moose, and Mark here. We're actually on the air right now. We haven't figured out a way to screen calls yet. So
okay.
So
we'll get there someday.
We will. Phil, you are a comedian, correct?
Comedian, yes, songwriter, musician, philanthropist,
yep,
world traveler, art lover. No, I'm just kidding. How's it going? How's it going, Phil?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. We're doing great. This is about our fifth podcast, so we're still learning the kinks and whatnot. But thanks for coming on the show, man.
Great. Yeah, you bet. You bet. I'm having a little trouble hearing you guys, so if I don't answer right away, that's why.
I apologize. Let me see if there's any way we can. Let me see here. Give me a second.
Sure.
Is that any better or worse?
That's a little better. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Sorry about that. Do this. Phil, where did you grow up?
I grew up and still live in San Jose, California.
Oh, nice. Must be nice out there. Now, real quick before we go any further, you are going to be, I was told by Liz, you're going to be in Toledo?
Yeah, I'm going to be in Toledo, when is that, April 25 through 27 at Connection.
Oh, cool. I've never actually been out to Connection, but we're probably going to actually have all of us come out there and check it out.
Oh, excellent. Good. I've never been there either.
Yeah, nice. So it's going to be an interesting experience, I think. Have you ever been to Toledo at all?
No, I haven't.
No, okay. What about anywhere over here, like Cleveland, doing comedy over here?
It seems, I don't know if I've done any places in Ohio yet. I've done a bunch of Michigan, I've done a bunch of Minnesota, I've done a bunch of Indiana, but I think it's going to be my first time in Ohio.
That's awesome. Well, welcome to Ohio when you're here. It's not that great of a place.
Oh, come on, man. We're
like the butt end of every joke.
Ohio is for lovers, Phil.
Right. Oh, aren't you guys the place with the river that caught on fire? That's like the first thing everybody will ever mention about Cleveland when you run into somebody. And you tell them where you're from.
That and LeBron, yeah.
LeBron James,
the only
yeah.
bad things. Oh, screw them.
And the home of the shitty football team.
So Phil Johnson, your website is www.roadsideattraction.com, and you can find everything you want to know about Phil Johnson, who the man is, a little bit about him. You can watch a few of his pretty hilarious comedy bits. I really like it. And what I liked the most was this guy has some some great songs under his belt. Good stuff. I hate to do the like comparison thing, but Phil is a comedian songwriter. So the next thing people think of is Tenacious D. Who's the other guy that Mitch Fatel? Yeah, do people make that kind of comparison a lot to you? Is that annoying?
Sure. Yeah. No. I mean, it's not really. I like getting compared to the good guys.
Right.
Tenacious D, and there's like Stephen Lynch.
Lynch, yeah.
Actually, somebody today almost compared me to Tim Minchin, the Australian guy. And I'm not nearly that talented, but thank you.
No, I like it, man. It's good stuff. I played. What was the song I played for you? Geeks Don't Care. Is that what it's called?
Oh yeah,
uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. We were both kind of bobbing our heads to that earlier on. Yeah, so it's good stuff, man. Don't sell yourself short.
You know that song actually is great because it reminds me of my buddy Steve who's sitting right here. when I listen to it, I'm like
the ultimate geek.
Yeah.
When I listen to it, I picture Steve in my head. I was listening to it before we went on the air, and it's just I was like, wow, I wish Steve was here to hear this because he'd be like dancing around the room, and being like, someone wrote a song about me or for me. Like it's exactly him.
Nice.
Probably get a lot of that.
And once again,
that's a song about me too.
Oh, see, there you go. Like I said, there's nothing wrong with that. But it's
fuck
just,
all the haters.
Yes,
that's all I gotta say.
Right.
now, again, we're talking to Phil Johnson, comedian, songwriter, entertainer. I
think that word actually fits you. You know,
yeah.
People overuse that word, but you really are an entertainer.
Thank you.
You're a man of a, you know, more than one trait.
Man of many hats.
A lot of your comedy is it seems to be based around, you know, the geek slash nerd slash dork, you know, stereotypes that people have. I mean, do you consider yourself a geek or a nerd?
Well, if you could see my office that I'm in right now, it's plastered with pirate crap and Disney stuff.
You know, that's funny because that's what I was reading that what Liz had said.
Yeah, I heard a rumor through our our producer that you have Disney memorabilia like strewn about your walls. Is that correct?
Yeah. I've got Disney stuff everywhere, and my girlfriend makes me. She when we moved in, she was like, "That crap stays in your office. If it comes out into the hallway, I'm leaving." Yeah.
Well, you do have one up on Steve because you said my girlfriend. So.
Yeah, definitely.
Exactly. Yeah. Now let me ask you. You know, as a grown man, what are people's first reactions when they walk into your home and they see stuff on the walls? You know.
Most people like. Well, it was funny because her niece and nephew came over and they were looking at my DVD collection. And they're looking at me like, "Are you a 6-year-old or what?" Yeah. You know.
Yeah. There's
so yeah, they look at me a little weird, but my friends are used to it.
So you've always kind of been into the more nerdier side of, you know, life. You know, I'm guessing since you were a child, correct?
Oh yeah.
So how was your childhood experience? Was it good? Was it bad? I say that because, you know, I know a lot of comedians, you know, you hear stories that they started using comedy, you know, as kind of like a social tool to, you know, get around the bullies and actually have women pay attention to them. Would you say that's a kind of an accurate description of how you got into being a funny guy?
That is an accurate description of most comics. Most comics are broken people in one way or another.
Yeah.
I'm one of the more stable comedians I know. I had a good childhood. I mean, I was, you know, bullied here and there and things like that. But for the most part, I had a really good childhood. I grew up in the suburbs. My parents are still together. I don't really have anything to complain about, which is why my comedy tends to be a little bit on the happier, you know, goofier side.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. And yeah, I did get that from your comedy. There's, you know, I mean... There, it's a lot cleaner than what I'm used to. You know what I mean? I like a lot of dirty comics, you know, stuff I just can't play in front of my mom, kind of thing. But,
you know, it's interesting because when I first started out, I was much dirtier, and then a few years ago, people started coming up to me after shows and going, "Wow, you're so clean," and I'm like, "Really? I am? I didn't know that. I have." You know, dirty jokes and things like that. And I mean, but what I tend to do is it's less language and more conceptual.
Uh-huh. Right.
So I'll throw out an edgy concept in the middle of a song or the middle of a joke, but without dropping foul language, you know. And so it lets me get away with a lot more.
You know, and I actually respect that in comedy more, only because it's easy to throw out, you know, F-bombs to make people laugh or say something, you know, completely disgustingly crude
for the shock value.
Right.
Shock value to get laughs, but when you can get laughs by not doing that, I think it shows more talent, to be honest with you.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, that's what I try for.
Yeah.
But I mean, all comics kind of go through that phase when we start of the shock value and the four letter words and things like that. And then eventually you go, "Oh, I'm going to get more work if I don't do that. So I'm going to write something else."
And right. that's a interesting point you're making right there. I mean, I'm sure you can get a lot more gigs just by simply having a cleaner act, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Your comedy seems, you know, like you said, you're not a very dark comedian. I tend to agree with that just from, you know, what I have seen so far from your stand-up and your songs. You know, they seem to be focused more on a positive message. There's
right.
one quote from your website, and again, that's www.roadsideattraction.com, all one word, and spelled just how you think it is, .com. There's no weird, like the club he's playing in Toledo. It's not spelt funky like that. What is it, Connections?
Connection, yeah.
Yeah.
With an X right there somewhere.
And we'll tell people how to actually, you know, find Connections. We'll give them the spelling for that later on. But the quote from your website is, it's, and I'm paraphrasing a bit, but it's being, you feel like you want to get people to like being who they are, trying to understand others in the hope that they understand themselves.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, I think that my last DVD was called "Be Yourself Unless You're an Idiot."
Yeah.
I think that is the most honest phrase that every single person has going on in their head, because
right.
everybody thinks everybody should be themselves. Oh, except for that guy, because he's an idiot.
That's
you know?
True. Yeah, you hear that a lot.
Yeah, and the guy, and unfortunately, the guy who's an idiot he never thinks he's an idiot. You know what I mean? You know,
of course. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's the sad part about it.
So my show is really about fighting about that dichotomy in myself too, because I look at people and go, what the hell is that guy thinking over there? That's ridiculous. And then I look at my own office and go, what the hell am I thinking? I'm ridiculous, you know?
Right, yeah.
I think everybody's ridiculous in their own way, though. I mean,
right.
There's room for everybody to be ridiculous however they want to be. Really,
sure.
In the world that we live in, yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Carl.
Oh, I was going to ask you, how long have you been doing comedy, like, professionally?
I think I'm about 8.5 years into comedy now. And playing music for years before that. I've got a degree in jazz guitar and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Oh,
so
really cool.
I've been walking around on stages for close to 20 years now.
When you do your music now, do you have a band or is it just you, like, acoustically?
I do have a band, but I haven't seen them in a while because I've been too busy performing by myself. That is on the plans for this year, is to do something with the band, because my band, Roadside Attraction, is a bunch of really amazing, talented guys. It's a big 8-piece band with a horn section, the whole deal, and so
get
much
out
fun.
Of here, really?
That's awesome.
Are you considering kind of taking that on the road? I mean, of course, the logistics of that, it's a lot harder. That's, you know, to get a group of guys on the stage as compared to just yourself with your acoustic. But I think that's something people would love to see, you know?
I would love to take it on the road, but it's so nearly impossible to make any money.
Right, yeah.
I can imagine, yeah.
Yeah, with a band that big on the road is really, really, really tough. So, I mean, when we do do a band thing, we usually do it around here, but that's why we did a DVD a couple years ago called Raising a Rockets. It was a live DVD with the whole band, and that's why we did that, because a lot of people did want to see the band, and so I go, well, here's the best you're going to get right now.
Are you still able to get that DVD?
Yeah, absolutely. It's on my website.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. Great.
All right. So, just roadsideattraction.com. And you can check out that band. I highly recommend for the listeners to go and check out some of Phil's songs. They're really good. They kind of put me in a good mood when I was listening to them today. Out here in Cleveland right now, it's kind of gray and cloudy. And
cold.
Yeah, in cold. We had a taste of spring, and then, you know, fuck you, Ohio. You know, just kidding.
You're really making me feel good about coming out there in a couple
of days. Yeah, you're gonna have a great time in the Rust Belt, buddy.
No, it's probably going to be 80 degrees when he comes out here.
Yeah, it's 75 really nice. And sunny here.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I mean, yeah, San Jose, man. I mean, hey, you guys kind of have your pick of the litter there.
Yep.
Hey, this is Moose here. I got a question for you. It's something I've always actually wanted to know about comedy. What in your opinion is like the main quality that makes a comedian? Because I mean, anybody can get up in front of people and you know rattle off a few jokes and stuff like that, but most comedians that I have seen usually are really quick in their feet. You know, their mind is working, you know, a million miles a minute, trying to, you know, string different things together. What in your opinion makes a comedian? What kind of ability do you have that is pretty much the most important thing?
I think it's almost like what we were talking about earlier, where comedians are sort of a broken bunch of people, where there's got to be some sort of outsider status to most comics. And I mean, I was always a guy that never fit in, so I even though I'm not that broken a person, I was still kind of an outsider, because comics are always taking an outsider's point of view of what's going on around them. They're the observer going, okay, that's interesting, that's ridiculous, I can talk about that, you know. So comics are the people that didn't fit in. And whenever you see somebody that was the popular guy in high school, or she was the cheerleader in high school or something like that, and they try and get up and do comedy, it almost never works.
Yeah. Yeah, I've always wanted to try and do comedy. I had actually a question here about that. You know, everywhere you go in cities, they'll have like a comedy class. Is that, you think,
uh-huh.
In your opinion, would that be even worth it to go through a class? To not to learn. I mean, you got to have, you know, obviously you got to have some natural talent behind it.
Yeah.
But would it be, you think it'd be worth it to go to a class? Or is it just get up there and do it the first time, fail miserably, and then figure out why you failed so you can move on and not fail?
I think both. I think classes are really interesting. I have yet to find a coach whose comedy I like enough or I would let them work on my material.
Right.
So I never really took classes, but I read books. I read, Judy Carter's Comedy Bible and stuff like that, and because it gives you writing exercises and teaches you about how to structure a joke and things like that. So I think they're good for that. Plus, it's a really supportive place for new comics to, try out their first sets. That being said, it's absolutely invaluable to go to a coffee house open mic and eat it hard your first five times, and because you'll do good the first time. So 2 through 6, you'll eat it, and then go back and figure it out from there. You know, but I think classes can be valuable. I was coming from sort of a strange place when I started because I was coming directly out of music and kind of fell into comedy by accident. So I never really took any classes.
Being a musician first, I'm guessing you were used to, being up in front of people, right? So I'm guessing that helped, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I don't get stage fright at all anymore, unless there's something big riding on the gig for some reason. But, that's always something to deal with, too. So, you can even go to Toastmasters and work on that kind of stuff.
Right, right. Let me ask you this. What's your inspiration, both musically and, as far as comedy? Are there any particular musicians you like? In your songs, obviously there's a strong acoustic influence, and a lot of that's because you have to, because you don't have your full band backing you. But I did hear some, right. Some heavy, not heavy metal, but like some definitely heavy distorted guitars, some kind of punky beats, in your songs. So who's your influences?
Well, when as a teenager, when I was learning how to play guitar, I really cut my teeth learning how to play Metallica and Stevie Ray Vaughan stuff. So I had that metal stuff and I had the blues stuff happening in there. And then when I went to college and started, I actually learned how to play the blues in college and jazz and Latin stuff. And I'm a huge Prince fan. So when you put Prince and Metallica and Stevie Ray Vaughan and Stephen Lynch all in the same blender, you kind of get me.
Nice, nice. Yeah. You give Prince a few cocktails, lighten him up,
right.
And out comes, Phil. And once again, everybody, we're talking to Phil Johnson, comedian, songwriter, entertainer. He's going to be in Toledo. What day are you going to be in Toledo, Phil?
That is April 25 to 27.
April 25 to 27. I'm guessing that lands on a weekend, correct?
Yeah, that's a Thursday through Saturday.
Awesome.
We're going to have to go out there and check it out. You guys, I think,
and we're based in Cleveland, but we're broadcasting nationwide. So even if our Cleveland-based of listeners, Toledo's an hour and a half trip, right?
From here, yeah, in Cleveland, yep, about an hour and a half.
Yeah, go up there for the night, take your lady out, dude. Switch it up. Stop taking her to the same movies. Who cares? Take her to Applebee's. Hey, baby, tonight we're going to Toledo. We're gonna watch a comedy act. Just follow my lead. She'll love you. You'll get laid for it. She'll be smiling in her ear after she leaves Phil Johnson's concert, and you're the guy. You're the man all of a sudden. Phil did all the work, but you're taking the benefits.
He did. Yeah, he did. Real quick, I did notice a little snippet that our producer, Liz, who's now in the studio with us right now, she noted on here something about she wanted me to ask you this. This was one thing she was very specific on asking was, you had a four-hour drive that took 12 hours.
Oh.
And she wanted to know how that happened.
Yeah, okay. So I was going from, this is probably the worst travel story I've ever had. I was going from Billings, Montana to Glasgow, Montana. It was me and the gal who was opening for me. And it was supposed to be a four-hour drive, but it took 12 hours because it was snowing sideways the entire time. Now, I know that's like normal for you guys, but
oh, yeah.
California boy.
Stop being a vagina, Phil. Come on, man. I do 80 in sideways snow.
Yeah.
Got a ticket. At one point, my chains got wrapped around my tire axles. And in the last hour, I was just driving by the green line on my GPS because I couldn't see anything else.
Well, that's brutal.
We got to the gig a half hour before the show. And my feature act, she went on stage and did her time. I went and took a quick nap. And then I got on stage and I said, you guys, I've gotten to Glasgow, Scotland in less time than it took to get here today.
Good stuff. One more thing. Liz, you want to say hi first off, Liz.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, Liz.
How are you this evening?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great.
She's such an oddball.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm great.
Like, she's so awkward. Like, her face right now. Just
hi. I'm great.
There was one more story. What's this I hear about truck nuts?
About what?
About truck nuts. Liz kept saying something. Ask him about truck nuts. Ask him about truck nuts. I'm like, truck nuts?
Oh, truck nuts. Yeah. I heard something completely different.
I don't even want to know what you thought you heard.
No, you don't. Yeah, no, I do a bit about truck nuts in my show because I just think it's one of the most ridiculous products ever invented. You know, I mean, I say, you show me a man buying truck nuts, I will show you a man whose retirement fund is lacking in commas.
This is true.
It's a sign of a larger problem, you know.
Yeah, I actually heard, like, it's you know, I got family in Alabama, and in Alabama was the first time I actually saw truck nuts, and I'm driving, and I'm like, dang, is that? No, it can't be. And sure enough, I get behind this. I mean, stacked up, you know, Dodge Ram, and yeah, there's some big metallic balls swinging in the wind on his tailgate. I'm just like, wow, that's okay. I mean, we all want to showcase our, you know, what we're into. So I guess you like inanimate objects that have a pair of testicles, you know. Apparently, you know.
Yeah, they're pretty lame. Of course, my parents love to buy me Christmas gifts based on the bits in my show, so I have a giant pair of red truck nuts here in my office.
Well, you do have truck nuts, okay. you need to hang those in your car, man. You gotta do it, man.
No, that will not happen. Although maybe from the rear view mirror, that might be a better place to put
them. So you're telling me you don't want to let your nuts hang?
Right.
Sorry, right. That was my corny joke for the night. Yeah. Do you want to play a little quick soundbite of
We got to go to a break in a minute here, but we're gonna play it out with the song that Geeks Don't Care.
Phil, thank you so much for coming on, man. Once again, thank you for having me. You're gonna be in Toledo at what's
Connection.
It? Connections. Can you bring up how that's spelled? Just so people know. Yeah. It's not spelled the way you know normal people who speak English spell it. And I don't know why comedy clubs do that. It's like, let me make my place hard to find on Google.
It's actually CONNXTIONS. Connections.
One more time, Carl.
CONNXTIONS.
Comedy club in Toledo, Ohio.
Yeah, you can go to their website. It's connectionscomedyclub.com. Or obviously, go to roadsideattraction.com. I would assume you have the dates on there.
He does, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we can have everybody check you out, and we may be out on the weekend coming up here to come see you.
April 25th, is that correct?
Yeah, 25th through the 27th.
Through the 27th, so you're there all weekend. So I mean,
yeah.
Come out on Saturday.
No
we'll
excuses.
Go out on Saturday.
Let's do it, man.
All right, yeah, we'll go out and see him.
Great.
I want to thank you one more time for being on the air with us, and I'll have Liz get in contact with you here just to go over everything that went down.
Let's put a link on to Phil's website.
I'll do that right now.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, everybody loves free publicity. So any way we can help you out, Phil, you know.
You let us know in the future anything we can do for
much
you.
Much appreciated.
No problem.
And we'd love to have you back. If you're in and around Northeast Ohio, even if you just want to, you know, shoot the shit with us, we'd love to have you back on air.
Cool. Sounds like a plan.
All right, Phil. Hey, thanks for being on the air again. And we're going to play it out with the song Geeks Don't Care.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks, Phil.
You don't have to be anorexic like a teenage pop star. And it's totally cool if you've got some scars. If you want to be sure that you'll wed, play the Imperial March when it comes to bed. He'll be the world's most faithful suitor when he sees the tattoo of Captain Kirk on your hooters. With the geek by your side, even if your butt is wide, you can roll with the tide through the red glare. With the geek, you'll be fine. You can look like Frankenstein. He will not decline. You're the answer to his prayer. dressed like slave girl, Princess Leia. There's a really good chance that he'll wanna lay ya in a king-size bed with Harry Potter sheets. Call him Lord Vader when he skeet, skeet, skeet. Always tell him that he's your guitar hero. You'll be his final fantasy. With the geek, you'll be glad. strange inside. Open mouth and mystified. So upside down, muddle-headed, round and round. Couldn't love me more. Makes me feel so strange inside. Days confused and starry eyed. I couldn't love you more. Makes me feel the wrong way round. Inside out and upside down.
Technical difficulties.
It's amazing that they know how to work a computer.
Welcome back to Mahogany and Fur.
Okay, yeah, I guess we were having a few technical difficulties there, but I think we're back now. I don't know.
Yeah.
Is that on? Is this on? Yeah, I guess about the apps that we use on a regular basis, like the top three apps that we use. And we were just getting a phone call, and then everything decided to go to hell.
Do you think the call has something to do with that?
I don't know.
Computer crash?
I don't know. We're going to try it again. I guess this person that was calling in that we don't know is going to give us a call back right now.
I wonder how long we were talking before it actually went out. You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
Dude, like, what else? I was like, dude, you guys were on the air for like the last hour, but I saw the monitors. You were just talking and talking.
We didn't know what you were saying the whole time.
How much that sucked,
man. Oh, that would be really bad. All right, we got the call coming in right now on Mahogany and Fur. Hey, this is Mahogany and Fur. You're on there. Who am I talking to?
This is Kara.
Kara, how are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing awesome. Hey, thanks for listening to us. And we were talking about the three apps that you use most. Like, which apps do you, Kara, use most often on your phone?
I would say Facebook.
Okay.
Instagram and Spotify.
Okay, go figure. A girl using Instagram. Do you take selfies of yourself every day?
What was that?
Do you take self pictures of yourself like every day on Instagram?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. You know, we have Liz here in the studio with us. She's one of our good co-hosts or whatever, cohorts. And she, I see her almost every single day. Listen to this, guys. She takes her iPad, okay, puts the front camera on, and gets ready looking into her iPad.
Yep. Yes, I do.
Kara, do you do things like that? Do you, like, get ready looking into your camera on your phone?
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, it's cutting out. I can barely hear you.
Oh, we're sorry. It must be your connection.
it must be your connection.
So, Kara, I was asking, do you take pictures of yourself to make sure you look okay before you leave the house?
No, I don't.
I'm not taking photos. I'm using the front-facing camera to look at myself.
That's the weirdest
thing. Instead of using a mirror.
That's not better.
Could you imagine Steve Jobs like 10 years ago? Listen, I have a revolutionary idea where I would have a personal computer on a tablet. You can use it for anything.
It's sending stuff to the Earth, to the moon.
To a satellite.
To satellites and back.
It helps me pay for my noodle cat.
To Earth.
Here's Liz. But can I, like, you know,
I don't
get my makeup
like that.
Ready by looking at it?
I
guess you could do that.
Teeth when I'm at restaurants, make sure nothing's in my
Jesus
teeth.
Jesus Christ. Kara, since you're our first caller ever of all time that's not one of our interviews, could you tell us what you're doing at home on a Friday night listening to the radio on the internet?
I'm supporting a friend.
What is your friend doing?
He's on the air.
Oh.
Wait, so you're listening to us, but your friend's on the air at another place?
Is she talking about us?
No.
Do we know Kara?
I think I might know Kara. I think I know Kara. Is this Kara? Kara with the crazy ex-boyfriend?
Yes.
Oh, Kara. Hi. How you doing, Kara?
Oh, my God.
What? Oh, my God, what? I didn't know it was you.
You knew I was calling it.
No, I mean, we have people calling in all the time. You're really ruining the segment
this
here.
This just got really awkward, man.
You're our caller, though. I mean, people, you're the first caller we got, but I didn't know you were calling.
Oh, my God. This is cringe rodeo, right?
No problem.
Well, what are you talking about? What are you talking about, Kara?
I don't know. I can barely.
Let's hang up on Kara.
Okay, I think I'm going to hang up on Kara.
Didn't know.
She didn't know any of us. Oh. I've never met Kara in my life.
Jesus Christ, dude.
That was weird. That was really weird. So the showing off the air, awkward. And then everything took a downfall. Wait,
did you tell Kara to call the show?
I told her to call us.
My.
Did you not know that?
Yeah, it became fucking brutally. What, Liz? Jeez, did she just tapping me? Yes,
my
Liz.
My headphones are way too loud.
Liz, calm the fuck down and have the loud headphones. I can't. Okay, fine. Here. You mean the better for you, little baby?
Yeah.
All right, cool. So, hey, did you happen to...
No. We're not going to skip over this. Like, it didn't happen. So, you told Kara to call in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And what the fuck?
What is wrong with that? No, I said, hey, Kara... She was actually listening. Keep that in mind.
But hang on. But you told her to call in, and I guess you wanted it to... You wanted the front, Mickey, be like, "Oh, we just have people calling in right now."
No, that's not what I wanted.
But I mean, isn't a big part of that explaining to Kara, like, "Hey, pretend you don't know us," kind of thing.
Yeah, I didn't tell her that,
dude. You can't. This is why I'm sexist.
Good job,
girls are
Carl.
Too stupid to pick up
she
on shit like
she
that.
She wasn't following with me. Hey, Liz, why don't you have some of your dumb friends call in?
No, let's not play that game. We're not.
I have some very intelligent friends that wanted to call into the show. Talk about the gun debate.
Do you have intelligent friends?
She was snapping.
I know. What about that cute girl that was here yesterday?
Suzanne?
Yeah, have her call in.
Was Suzanne cute?
Yeah.
You just saying that because you're on the radio?
No.
What does Suzanne look like?
Suzanne's the one that came back after Liz went to sleep.
Oh, did you bang her?
Yeah. No, that never happened. But seriously, have her call in. I would like to have a couple callers. We could discuss, you know, what people use on their... phones. We can discuss anything basically with our callers. So I mean, it'd be cool to have a couple callers here. So anyways, there's some dead air going on here. Steve's looking at his phone. I don't know why. Steve, why don't you tell somebody to call in? What? You know who we should find. You know who we should get to call in.
Look on Steve's face is like, oh, no. Time out. The look on Steve's face is, oh, we're still doing this. We're still broadcasting.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what.
He's just like checking
Steve.
Checking the Indian scores on his phone.
Yeah, hey guys, I'm gonna check the internet. Steve, what's going on with you, man? I think he quit smoking and lost his marbles.
Probably.
Look at his face. He's like, he looks like he's in pain.
Are you okay, man? You look very solemn.
Yeah.
I'm all right.
You know who I want?
I definitely really want one of those right now, but I'm kind of just like, you know.
Is that what it is? You're just kind of fiending for
I'm jonesing,
right?
Yeah.
Dude, just take a huge puff of that thing right on camera. Get yourself on camera. Get yourself on the camera there and take a huge fucking puff of that thing. Like the biggest puff of nicotine you've ever taken in your life.
Transition here, all right.
Get that, Steve. Get it, Steve. Dragon Steve. So here's the thing. What I wanted to let you guys know something. I wanted to talk to you guys about something. Since Steve may perhaps not be a part of Mahogany and Fur for a while.
Can you try that again?
Since Steve may perhaps not be a part of Mahogany and
Better.
Fur.
Better.
Anymore. For at least a couple months. I mean, he'll probably be back after that. I wouldn't replace Steve, you know. I want to, but I'm not going to.
I'll fucking replace him.
So, no, I don't want to replace Steve. Steve's a good part of the show. But since Steve may be leaving us for a little while, I'm thinking that we need a fourth person here, guys, that's not Steve because he won't be here. Who do you guys want?
I mean, I know a few people.
I know a few people because, like, Steve is our conservative brother of the show. I have one of my good friends is equally conservative.
So really?
I'm just saying. If Steve can't do it, you know what I mean?
And that's not a knock on Steve.
No, it's not.
The conservative
it's really not.
Part of the show.
All joking aside.
We need, you need everybody, really. You need all shapes and sizes. And that was not a knock on Steve either, although it sounded like one. It wasn't.
I'm the round shape of the show.
Steve is the round.
I don't understand. Can you explain what you mean? I'm just kidding.
Steve Moose is in shape. Round is a shape.
Was that your explanation, Liz? What, you got talking to a microphone.
We're definitely enlightened now. Thank you.
Oh, can you tell Suzanne?
That reminds me.
On a text that I think she's really cute.
Yeah, I'll tell her that.
Will you?
Oh, no. I got something for good reading.
Why is she looking at me like that? Will you tell her that?
Hear me out.
I will tell her that.
Did you already do that?
Listen.
No.
What is your smile? What do you have going on over there? Wait a minute, Mark. I'm sorry. What do you got going on over there?
I don't have anything going on.
So I don't know what just happened, you guys. Or you. But the internet died.
What do you think that was?
I don't know. It's working now. Look, we're connected. They gave me 18 megabyte down today.
Well, that could be the iPhone 5 because they've had Wi-Fi issues with these.
Yeah, so. Hey, we're on the air, though. So you can...
What do you mean, Steve? Do you think the iPhone could be interfering with the Wi-Fi system?
No.
It's an issue with speed on the iPhone 5. There's no issue with Wi-Fi, so.
But how does
well,
that
tell us on
how
the air?
How does that affect us?
It doesn't affect us, but I was trying to use my iPhone to gauge Carl's internet speed here.
Okay.
Let me do a speed test.
But the iPhone 5 might not be reporting an accurate speed, so.
I gotcha.
Just go to speedtest.net and test it out.
I got a speed test on my phone, too, but I don't have your Wi-Fi password.
You can get it off the thing sometime, but I'm going to do a test here. See, it's going slow as shit, and I don't know why.
Do you think it's the software we're running? It's kind of bogging down?
No. Yeah, it shouldn't do that. Liz, we're back on the air. Get on your mic, Broseph, and we'll talk about what we were talking about until it goes off. So I'm going to just mention this here. If this goes off again, we are done for the night.
We should probably still wrap it up.
We are going to wrap it up here in a minute. We're going to do the speed test here. I did sign up today for 18 megabytes down. Well, no, I didn't even sign up for it. Listen to what they did. They just gave it to me, they said. So that's the thing. See, look, watch. This is going to be, look at that. I'm not getting no fucking down. Look at that shit.
What is your recording?
Five.
Easy with your rappers there, kid.
What are you talking about, Liz? So what? That's fine. I don't care. See, look at this. My up speed should be like 3 megabytes a second. But look at my download speed. It's only 5. That should not be right because I'm not downloading anything right now unless Liz has shit downloaded on our computer in there. She was downloading so much stuff the other day on her damn computer. Everything in the house was going slow as fuck.
She's downloading Apocalypse Now.
Something, dude. Look at what it says for my download speed.
Insanity workout.
Look at this.
What's your upload speed?
I don't know. It's not even doing it. It's just disconnecting.
What the fuck, man? You got to call them, bro.
I got to call them. Good. My upload speed is currently... Jesus Christ. They really screwed me at AT&T, didn't they? I'm gonna go on their AT&T chat right now. You guys talk for a second.
Okay, so...
Are you serious? Yeah. Dude, I'm going to...
Okay, so what should we talk about,
guys? It'd be cool
guys?
If you could call customer service and then have that call on the air.
Yeah.
And you could just, like, rip into them.
Give me your phone.
That sounds illegal.
No.
No. You can do that.
What's Ohio's
people
laws
do that
about
all
recording?
The time on YouTube.
Only one party has to know it's recording, and it can be the calling party.
Is that Ohio?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you for calling AT&T. This call may be moderated for... Yeah.
Illiterate Liz. That's her new nickname, by the way. Me and Carl came up with that. What?
Illiterate Liz, not Liz the
Underachiever. It's
Illiterate Liz.
Illiterate Liz
is your new name.
Friend.
So, Steve, can I actually borrow your phone, your microphone real quick?
Phonics didn't work for you.
So we can put it to that. And what's the phone number here? Guys, could you guys talk about something while I do this?
Can we talk about how I used to read at a college level and what happened?
Drugs happen. So anyway, let's go back to you hooking up with your friend.
Well,
what did she say to you? We'll start pick up line.
She was like, I want to know what the tongue of yours feels like.
And pause. Now, if a guy had said that to you, how creeped out would you have been?
I would have been honest. Pretty creeped out, but if he was my friend, and an established friend that I've known for a while, I would have went ahead and made out with him.
Fair enough. But
if it was just some random guy, I'd be like, fuck you. I'm about ready to kick you in the balls. Leave me alone.
Well, what if it was a random girl? You wouldn't have that reaction.
It depends on how the girl's behavior was, like no. How wasted well, was
okay,
she.
Okay, I'll set up a scenario for you. You're at a party. You're amongst friends, but there's people there you don't know. There's plenty of people you don't know. The girl's been kind of checking you out, you know what I mean, smiling at you the entire night. And you start up a little chit-chat conversation. Then she drops that line on you. How would you have felt?
I would be weirded out for sure.
I want to see what that tongue feels like. Whatever the fuck she's... Like, that's the creepiest, perviest shit, dude. And, like, girls
it's
get away with stuff
creepy,
like that.
Creepy, but I understand why people say it. They're curious.
Maybe I'm asking the wrong person. Liz is a little bit more not... she's a little bit more liberal.
166594.
A little bit more liberal in her...